letting us know if we're posted.
We are.
And in compliance with the open meeting law, and please join me in Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a new board member. There he is. And we have to swear at him?
Swear at him.
Yeah.
Swear him in.
Swear at me.
So is that Jackie? Okay, thank you. Please commence.
Please stand, sir, and raise your right hand. Please state your name.
Oh. I put my life... Wife said from my mouth too soon.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're ready.
Okay. Please state your name.
I, Richard Churchill.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and government.
The Constitution and government.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution and government.
And the Constitution and government.
Of the state of Nevada.
Of the state of Nevada.
Against all enemies, whether domestic or foreign.
Against all enemies, whether domestic or foreign.
And that I will bear true faith.
And I will bear true faith.
Allegiance and loyalty to the same.
Allegiance and loyalty to the same.
Any ordinance, resolution, or any law.
Any ordinance, resolution, or any law.
Of any state notwithstanding.
Of any state notwithstanding.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
That I will well and faithfully perform.
All the duties of the office of a member.
All the duties of the office of a member.
Of the Southern Nevada District Board of Health.
Of the Southern Nevada District Board of Health.
Of which I am about to enter.
Of which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Do you want to give a acceptance speech?
No, I'm just happy to be, first of all, part of the board. I'm happy to be part of the North Las Vegas Council, and I'll do my best to represent North Las Vegas and serve the needs of the city.
Very good. Thank you. Before we take our public comment, would Mr. Jones step up to the corner here, please? And Dr. Eiser? Michael, didn't you be here? Jim has, as many of you know, served quite ably and long on the board of directors of the office here. And chaired a couple times and volunteered for nearly every unpleasant duty that we could possibly volunteer for. So the way the state law came down, he is moving off the board onto the advisory board as well. Michael Collins, who is not here this morning, and Dr. Osgood is not here this morning. The three of them have plaques that we'd like to present. But since Tim's the only one here,
gets all three.
You get yours. Recognition of exceptional leadership and devoted service to Southern Nevada Health District Board of Health, July 2006 to June 2015. Thank you.
I would just like to thank all of you. It's been a pleasure working with the board for this number of years. Excellent working with the dedicated board and staff. Community partners and the public, and then there's still a lot of big work to be done, so I know everybody's dedicated to that, and I'll support any way I can. Thank you. All right.
We do have one other thing that we added into the agenda as of actually 10 minutes ago, and yesterday we had the wall breaking or implosion for the new building. Our vice chairman showed up and gave an eloquent talk about the history that this district has gone through in getting to where we are. And I just wanted to point out to you that we have a ceremonial sledgehammer that is, I think, chrome-plated with a little plaque on it, and I guess a ceremonial helmet, so I wouldn't break my head as I broke through the wall. So we just wanted to show you this and tell you how pleased we were with the number of people who showed up, the media that showed up, and again, Mr. Beers, Vice Chairman Beers, thank you so much for the kind words that you said yesterday.
Okay, let's get to work. First item on our agenda is public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about those items that are going to appear on our agenda today. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Please step up to the speaker's podium, clearly state your name and address, and spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this can be done either by myself or by the board by majority vote. Anyone want to talk today? Please step up.
Victoria Harding, SNHD and SEIU. And this is a lot of, for the benefit of those people who weren't there at the ad hoc committee meeting. Some of you were there and heard my public comment. Some of you didn't. So, and I know we're going to be speaking today about the job descriptions of the chief medical officer and the district health officer. And so just to let everybody know what I had said the other day, when I read the district health officer was pretty much – basically what the district health officer does right now. I didn't have any issues with that. And then the chief medical officer, which is this new position, and trying to carve out those duties that are public health services oriented and kind of leave the administration points to the district health officer. when I read the job description, it was how I read it. It was Bonnie's job description as director of nursing, which gave me a lot of pause on that. And it, one of the main reasons is because it says in there, it talks a lot about clinics and nursing services division. And so one of the things I asked for in the public comment was for that to be broadened, that because there are public health issues that come up in community health and environmental health, excuse me, and you know, we should have somebody who's involved in all of those aspects, not just the nursing aspect of it. And they did, and you'll see that correction in there in the job description. And the only thing I have left to say about it is that it still says clinics and nursing services division quite a bit through there. You know, and that's up to you guys as how you want to, you know, see that carried out. I know we like to have job descriptions that are broad so that we can do a lot with them, you know, so I know we're not married to everything that's in here or whatever. There's an art to writing these things. I know that. But I just wanted to say, and because this came out that really they were, because Bonnie is leaving and they weren't planning on replacing her, and that this person would serve as the director of nursing. There is a law that's out there, and it is NRS 632.240, and it's a very simple law, so I'll read it. System for delivery of healthcare. Nursing services must be supervised by a chief administrative nurse. The provision of nursing services in any system for the delivery of healthcare must be under the direction and supervision of a chief administrative nurse who is a registered nurse. The law is very clear on that. It's very short. And that's why we've always had a nursing director who is a registered nurse. And it makes sense organizationally wise that you have one person at the top. Below that, we do have, I think it's three, Bonnie will correct me if I'm wrong, but three managers that are nurses that take care of the different programs. If we don't have that person at the top, I think organizationally it's difficult for the nurses. The position of chief medical officer does have a requirement for an MD associated with it, you know, but that is not a nursing degree. So I would be very worried if we didn't hire a director of nursing as well as the chief medical officer. And this is very self-serving of me to say this because we have probably, 50-plus nurses here. And if they don't have a director of nursing who is a nurse or nurse administrator, they're going to come straight to me. And I'm going to have 50 people on me saying they're doing something illegal, and I'm going to have to agree with them on that. And I don't want to have to do that. So that's just my thing on that. You know, chief medical officer, as far as that goes, I read it. It's fine. but we can't not have a nursing director who is a nurse. And then the other thing that I was just going to say, I don't know if anybody's going to talk about money for these positions. There is history of going back, if you go back to February 2007 in the meetings and minutes agenda for the Board of Health, it does talk about how we are a unique society here in Southern Nevada, that we actually have one person doing two persons' jobs. And because of that, and actually Tim Jones, I think, is the only one here who was actually on that board at the time, it was determined that there should be a larger salary because we have one person doing two persons' jobs. Now that we are splitting that off into two different positions, I tend to agree with Senator Roberson, who did say that he expected those positions to be lower paid positions because you are splitting duties. I think that's just for the benefit of the health district. But I do believe in honoring contracts, and we have a contract with our current district health officer, and I would never want to do anything with that. But going forward in the future, I don't know when you're going to talk about money as far as these positions go. But that was why we had large salaries for the chief district health officer from the past. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Victoria. Anyone else wishing to speak? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to agenda item number 2, the adoption of the July 23rd, 2015 agenda. Any comments?
To approve.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. On our consent agenda, we only have one item, which is the approval of the minutes of the June 25th, 2015 meeting. Are there any comments?
Move to accept. Second.
There's a motion and a second to accept the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? And the motion passes. There are no matters under agenda item 4, public hearing action, so we'll move to agenda item 5, report, discussion, and action. The first sub-agenda item is to receive the report and accept recommendations from the Nomination of Officers Committee. Vice Chair Lois Tarkanian chaired this subcommittee. Would you report back the discussion and results?
Thank you.
Mike?
We discussed the situation that we felt that individuals who had been on the board for a while and who had experience would be those that would be considered for officership. And we didn't know if that needed to be brought back here or not, but that was the basis upon which these nominations were made. And so we did have some other fine candidates nominated, but it was a feeling of the board that the experience of at least a year or so is sort of necessary in taking over a leadership position like that. So as far as the nomination of officers, do you want me to go over each one, just put them in a group?
Yes, you can just summarize what the recommendations are.
The recommendations were Bob Beers as chair, Rod Woodbury as vice chair, and Lois Tarkanian as secretary.
Is there any discussion, board members?
Motion to approve the recommendations as outlined.
Before you all vote on that, there's a board governance policy that says that officers can only serve limited time.
Right.
And in order to re-elect Councilwoman Tarkanian as a secretary, you need to temporarily waive that requirement so that she can continue as secretary. So that my recommendation would be that if that's the way you want to go, that you would recommend waiver of that board requirement first and then vote to approve her.
Okay, I'll amend my motion to, as outlined by legal counsel, to waive the rule and then accept the slate as recommended.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion and a second. The motion includes a variance to our policy to allow Councilwoman Tarkanian to continue on as the secretary of our group. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. I will pass my left hand the gavel from my right hand, and we will consider the ceremony having been ceremon or something.
Ceremony?
Sub-agenda 3 is receive the report and accept the recommendation from the ad hoc committee nope, wait, subsection number two. At our last meeting, we entertained a proposal to adjust the fee schedule for nursing services. At that meeting, my recollection is that we directed staff to distribute a sheet with the before and after price schedule to the members. That has been done, and so at this meeting, we would consider to adopt or perhaps revise that schedule. Is there any discussion amongst the board members?
I just have a couple of short questions. On the hepatitis vaccinations, I know those are multi-shot, having gone through your program here. Now, are these prices per visit, or is this for all the injections?
The answer is
looking at
per shot.
Just knowing what they cost, this is per shot.
Okay. I think somewhere we may want to specify that. I know myself, I was surprised because I didn't realize that when I had come in. Not that the money was a problem, it was just didn't know. My only
excuse me, Mr. DeMine, that's also true for all of the other vaccines that we have. So it's just a continuity of how we price vaccines.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, as somebody who is on the other end, I think
sure.
we need to make sure we make that clear to everybody.
Sure.
My only other comment was the emergency birth control plan B. Honestly, I can almost see that being a freebie or not raising that. I really don't want to deter anybody who is in that situation and may need assistance, and I don't want price to be the obstacle.
As I think we've mentioned in the past, all of these fees are subject to the ability of a person to pay. So we can always waive fees or decrease the fee. That will always, as long as I'm here, and I think as long as anyone is here in the district, that will be the case, because our goal is to have people fully vaccinated regardless of cost. But this allows us to, and if I may, Sharon does have a presentation. If you want to see it, you may not. But this allows us to charge insurance companies at a rate that they will reimburse us, just as all other healthcare providers would. That's what these rates basically reflect.
Dr. Eiser, I can add to that. We received Title X funds from the federal government, and as a result of receiving those funds, anyone who comes in and has no ability to pay is charged absolutely nothing, and that's a requirement of taking those federal funds. So that is never a barrier for anyone coming to our clinics.
That's good information for all of us.
That was Bonnie Sorensen, RN, for those who keep the notes, although I imagine you recognize her voice. Okay, so I have a question. Are we going to be publicizing these, putting the schedule up on the website or something like that? Because if that's true, then I think we should incorporate some sort of modification in accordance with Doug's suggestion. Maybe for those vaccines that are multiply applied, I guess. I just have in parentheses three times or four times or five times and per time over there on the price, just to make it clear to people.
We will do that. And in fact, you may remember that I worked on hepatitis B vaccines earlier in my career when I worked for the CDC. And in fact, even though the dosage is usually three doses of hepatitis B vaccine, that now, 1 month from now and 6 months from now, we can apply, if they're in a high-risk group, we should be testing them, and you can give a fourth and a fifth one. So all of these vaccines can have more than that.
Three to five.
Yeah, but so we'll be happy to make sure.
Or maybe even just multiple
per dose
applications or something.
Sure.
Just to let people plan for it.
Right, and this does allow someone to get their first dose here. If they move up to Washoe, they can get their second dose there. We'll give them their immunization records, and they may move to Southern California for their third dose.
Okay, board, any additional questions from anyone?
Mr. Chairman, I agree with this. I think this is just good, prudent business sense to where we can take advantage of the change and to make the insurance companies pay what they appropriately would in the private market. I think it's in our best interest. As such, I'll make the motion to approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Sub-agenda item 3 is to receive the report and accept recommendation from the ad hoc committee reviewing and discussing SB 314 to discuss or approve resulting structural, procedural, and administrative changes and supporting governance documents to facilitate compliance with SB 314. The committee was chaired by, who chaired that committee? Mr. Woodbury, who is not here. So perhaps, Dr. Iser, we'll look to you to report back the results of that committee meeting.
Sure. Thank you, sir. Joe Iser, District Health Officer and Chief Medical Officer. I believe that Annette would probably like us to take these sort of sequentially, but we can't take them all at once. The first is the BGPs that I think we did 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. We had provided suggestions, and I believe very few things were changed in any of those suggestions by the ad hoc subcommittee. They basically relate to, if you look at BGP 1, construction of the Board of Health meeting agendas. BGP 2 is voting and attendance procedures. 4 is committees. 5 is board officers and members. 6 is board governance process. And so these are basically just revised from your current BGPs to reflect the change in the board structure as reflected in SB 314.
Any comments, committee members?
Just one very minor thing, but I think the wording does make a little bit of difference in the meeting. On page 12 of the committees, it says, when appropriate, non-members of the board may serve as non-voting committee members. And it probably should say, and shall not serve as committee chair instead of, shall not.
Would you repeat that reference?
And this is BGP
4?
This is BGP 4 committees. It is four. Under 2AI.
2A1.
Top of
so it's page
12.
12.
And you're changing the word but to and.
What threw me is that the formatting of the page number in the lower right-hand corner uses a vertical bar.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually
page two.
Although I can see how you look at it.
Looks like 12.
I was going through, sir. Gee, there are a lot of page 12s for such a thin packet.
I didn't find any 12s. I thought maybe I'd lost something here.
Policies, yeah. Page 2 of committee.
Page 2, right?
Yeah. So would you repeat what your suggestion is?
Very minor change, but just changing the word but to and. So when appropriate, non-members of the board may serve as non-voting committee members and shall not serve as committee chair. The
under
word but just kind of left it a little bit.
Understood. BGP 04.
Mr.
Thank
Chair,
you,
are you suggesting that we also change the numbering format?
That is kind of a pain. It doesn't make sense, too. But.
Okay.
I'm an accountant, ma'am.
Okay.
Any other comments from board members on this matter?
I'll move to approve. I think all these changes reflect the discussion that we had.
Second.
We've got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay. Motion passes.
And if I may, just to be clear, these are BGP Correct. 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6.
Correct.
I believe that was your motion.
That was my motion.
Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to agenda item 6.
We have a few other changes, however. Those were just the BGPs. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Okay.
So we do have the district health officer position description, and it doesn't look like you all made any or many changes at all. Under the training, I had recommended a doctoral degree, but you changed that. You recommended a change to master's or doctoral degree. Other than that, it was unchanged.
Okay. Okay. Any comments? I think most of us were actually at the ad hoc committee meeting and had our had wax at this thing already. Any comments, members? All right. Do we have a motion then to accept the two job descriptions for district health officer and for chief medical officer?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
Make just one comment on the chief medical officer. I know Victoria had a concern that the two nursing division, can't remember your title, Bonnie, but in the bullets, we did delete the last part of the sentence that says clinics and nursing services division. So I think it made it.
That's reflected in these.
And it is. And I think that does make it more generic.
But doesn't
I don't
preclude.
Think reading this that you would assume that that position takes over that position. Takes over
but all positions, just to remind you, just as they do within the county and the cities, that positions can take, any single position can take on additional duties.
Absolutely.
As requested or required
I'm
by
saying that I don't think it specifies that it takes over that position.
Doesn't specify that,
so
that's correct.
It's flexible that it could do.
It could do either. Or any.
Okay, that motion passes unanimously. Our final business under this agenda item is the last two pages of the packet we received, which is a resolution of our board to establish the Public Health Advisory Board and delegate certain authority to that advisory board in comport with Senate Bill 314. Do we have any discussions or comments?
Similarly, we added in your suggestions from the ad hoc committee, and you'll see those with track changes on your copies.
And when, Mr. Chair,
When
will those are those supposed to be into you? We turned in a name from the city, and as it turned for someone who was very interested, it turns out they don't live in the city, so they don't have to go back.
Yeah, whenever you get them to us. Right now, we have the three people. We have the three people who, by law, left the regular Board of Health to become on the Advisory Board of Health. So we have those three people. And, of course, if one of those resigns or one of them changes their role, then we would come back to you all figure out who should be in that position, as we have with all of the appointeds in the past. The city of Boulder City has recommended someone that we have. I don't think that there's a deadline, but we certainly – right now we only have four of the eight. And so until we get at least five and all five show up, we couldn't have a quorum. So I don't think there's a deadline. Ms. Bradley may say that July 1st was the deadline. That's why I wrote you as soon as the law passed, the elected representatives on this board to take it back to their cities. So whenever you do, we'll be happy to accept them and host the first meeting and go from there.
Okay. I just wanted you to know we did follow through. It was just that. The address turned out not to be in the city.
And I believe that the legal interpretation is that this is for a resident of each one of the political jurisdictions except for the county. Yeah.
Just want to note, as I did in the committee, that we keep that in our file to take.
We will. And Dan Musgrove, by the way, is sitting somewhere behind me and is listening in.
4 o'clock.
Oh, there we go.
For those of us who represent jurisdictions that have failed to timely recommend a member of the advisory board, does our council believe it's safe for us to cross state lines? It's vacation season.
Well, but you remember that the legislature in Texas did something about legislators who crossed state lines.
All right. So
but I do think that there's – the fine will be the equivalent of the chief medical officer's financial reimbursement from each one of the cities who didn't make the deadline.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that is not for
strike
the record.
Strike all that.
Yeah.
Strike all that from my comment. Okay. So are there any additional questions or comments on this resolution? there being none voiced, then I'd accept the motion for us to pass this resolution as amended.
Stated?
Yep. That was the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. We good?
We're good.
All right. That brings us to agenda item 6, board reports, an opportunity for each of our board members to discuss emerging issues or make any other comments. Let's start with Mr. Noonan.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to let the board know this week I gave a letter to our who is now our former chairman and now our vice chairman, Mr. Woodbury, that due to my recent appointment to the Southern Nevada Infrastructure Committee that was appointed by the governor, I was appointed to represent the gaming industry on that committee. So as such, unfortunately, those meetings are on the exact same day as the health board, and they're an all-day meeting, and they will go on for about a year. So as such, I served notice to Mr. Woodbury that I would need to resign my seat as an at-large member representing the Nevada Resort Association. I copied the Nevada Resort Association on that decision. They'll be meeting in early September to consider my replacement and recommendation to the board. So it's certainly been my pleasure to be affiliated with this board and with this staff for the last 3+ years. My resignation will actually be effective on the 15th of August. But I really want to say how much I've appreciated working with all of you, with the staff, on a lot of great things over the last 3+ years. And I wish all of you and Dr. Iser all the very best. And I'm currently the vice chairman of the Nevada Resort Association, so I'll stay closely attuned to what's going on with the board. And but anyway, this will be my last meeting. So.
What a bombshell.
Well, thank the governor.
We're going to miss him.
Couldn't turn the governor down.
Does anybody have good news to
share? If I may, I just want to share with the board. I've been here not quite 2 years, and it's been my distinct pleasure to work with all of the elected people as well as all of the appointed people who have been assigned to the board. And Mr. Noonan is virtually always here, has always been available when I needed to talk to him about a variety of issues. And I want to thank him personally and from the bottom of my heart for his service, certainly while I was here, and I believe I can speak for my predecessor. So thank you very much.
Yes, you will be missed. What is the number of our new board now in fiscal 2016? 11, and we have 8 members here today, so we need 6.
Correct.
And that will be true next month when Mr. Noonan isn't here, 6 of the 10 remaining.
Right. And so I wonder if it's worthwhile to reach out to the NRA and see if they can make a temporary appointment. I don't know where that fits in the law.
Well, that would be my recommendation as well. Next year, Mr. Noonan's position would be up and they'd have to reappoint anyway. But in the interim, the NRA can appoint someone to take his place for the remainder of his current term.
And that would end at the end of this year?
Correct.
But I'm just worried about our August and September meetings, which are going to take place before they formally meet. And
in terms of getting a quorum,
They intend to have somebody for the September meeting, but the August meeting would be problematic.
Yes,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Oh, actually, I just realized that we don't have alternates anymore. So never mind.
Yeah, that's right. We don't. That was one of the other changes. We don't have alternates, which would solve this problem.
And which I believe both you and Mr. Woodbury expressed to the legislature during the course of the hearings.
And there's our 9th member.
Member Junkiliani, Member Noonan has just announced his resignation. He's got another duty that conflicts. So we're discussing the potential impact that has on our ability to hit a quorum in August and September. The NRA, who he is here representing, is planning on having an appointment done in September available for the October meeting. But we've got issues
So we need nine no matter what for
historically, quorum. Is this month the lowest number of board members historically?
Typically, the
July and August, yeah.
Is the hardest to get the quorum.
Okay.
I know I'm here. I apologize. I had a broken drip line I had to repair this morning.
We certainly...
thank you for making it and smiling, even though you've just dealt with a plumber.
I learned how to do the solenoid. It's the wires that make me crazy. Figured it out.
We'll ask Jackie to get out the notification early so that you all can confirm earlier than usual, so we'll know whether we can have a quorum or not. But I suspect, you know, right at 8:30 this morning, I think when maybe even before you walked in, we had six. So let's hope for the best.
Let's. Are there any additional members that have comments to make under this agenda item? Did you hold your hand up at one point?
I don't know. Oh, I did. I did.
I was going to say just on this that I don't serve on another board in the county or affiliates that have what are they called?
Alternates.
Thank you. Senioritis. So I just don't think it will be a problem.
Yes.
I think we all are elected to serve and to be here, and are we usually have very faithful non-elected members. So
it may be worthwhile to reach out to each of the board members. So I'll reach out now to those that are here and remind you that August is going to be a real issue to hit a quorum. So please do your best to be here. And if you would reach out to those members that didn't make it today and let them know.
Mr. Beers, I was just making that as a side comment. I did have something on the board reports. I attended the CHIP meeting last week, the
Community Health Improvement Plan.
There's also a CHA. But it was fascinating, and I'd missed the first meeting. Designated three main emphases for the discussions and divided into three groups. We had some wonderful reports from health district people, and it was very informative, but I thought I'd challenge others to come, especially representing your jurisdictions there. One of the groups was discussing policy and funding, and I just think health. Everybody, when you talk to people, their main concerns are education, safety, and health. And I think on our particular boards, those of us that are elected officials, if we keep in mind health as we make policy and even focuses that we have, that we really can benefit our constituents. So I would encourage you to come to one of those meetings just to get a little. Mr. Doug was there as well, and I thought it was very valuable.
Question.
I think Mr. Jones was there too.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, ma'am.
Just to follow up on that, I know some of the jurisdictions, I know the city does, and I know the county has SafeKey programs, but we just had a really good meeting last week too to really try to refocus the programs to literacy based, and then how do we work with our kids athletically and so forth so that you can do the arts, the dance, and so forth, but we're tying it into the obesity issue. And so we may, down the road, I don't know how much, maybe that can come up something at CHIPS, but I don't know if the other cities, was Henderson, you recall, Mary Beth, was Henderson or John? You have a SafeKey program too, don't you, of some sort?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. And I think we're going to do a needs assessment because we haven't changed ours in 35 years. So I know the city of Las Vegas already did and is on that way. So it's just another way on how we all interlink in some ways. And if the rurals have programming, we had Pat Skorkowski came out and said, you know, you're right, because it's run by government, with no disrespect. A lot of times it's been a babysitting service rather than a really focused on literacy and then athletics and arts and so forth. And so if you do have those programs, maybe we and if you don't, then maybe we should talk about how to help out in that way as well. So that's just a follow-up because Mary Beth made me think about that.
The City of Las Vegas SafeKey program had a grant in 2012 from the health district, I come to find out, that bought materials and curriculum and pointed us in the right way, and the grant has expired, but we continue to incorporate the content into our SafeKey programming, which I believe is primarily nutritionally based, nutritional education. Maybe someone out here with the health district knows of this better than I and can put a better description on it for the benefit of the cities that didn't have that grant, or maybe they all did. I don't know.
No, I think City of Las Vegas, Brian Knudsen, actually wrote the grant, and that's why he did the – they you all contracted out to do a needs assessment and then reevaluate, and that the Downtown Achieves became the focal point. They wanted to target the schools rather than blanketly, because we have 87 schools in the county, and not every one of them need that redirection, so that's why we're going to do a needs assessment. But I think it was only the City of Las Vegas that had the grant.
Well, if any of the other cities want to find out more, let me know, and I'll dig out some formal details. Any other comments?
If I may, Commissioner Scow, I really appreciated you and the other members of the board being there. I think it's very helpful to us and helpful to you to see the broad general direction that we're going. And this is where we're going anyway, but it's all part of our accreditation process that you all know about and we've reported on several times. And when you think about the three priorities that you just mentioned, which were health, safety, and education, we are involved in all of that, although a lot of it is health literacy, health education, certainly safety. When one of the things I'll talk about in the next agenda item relates to safety, and of course health is what we're all about. So thank you really for coming. We appreciate it. Thank you too.
Okay, any additional comments from members of the board at this time? Don't see any, so we'll move on to agenda item number 7, health officer and staff reports.
Just as a reminder, we're preparing our next three-year projection for our budget, and we don't have it ready yet, but we'll do the same process that we've done since I've been here, which is to work with the Finance Committee, work with our managers and supervisors, do an all-hands meeting before we bring it to you so that no one is surprised by what we think we're going to find, and I can't even project what we think it will be. Although at the last one, I'll remind you that we were still in the red for 17, but not by much. And SB 314 will eventually add to that, we believe. And I believe that we're preparing to provide that next three-year assessment to you in August. The other things I wanted to talk to you about is to remind you that if you read my reports, there we've talked about some of the apps that the health district has prepared. And I sent a note out to all the staff. I went to the bank at lunch hour the other day, and they asked me what I did, and I said what I did, and I just give my brief elevator talk about health and safety, environmental health, restaurant inspections, and so on. And they said, restaurant inspections, that's pretty interesting. I said, well, by the way, did you know we have an app? And so I showed the teller the app. I didn't hold up the line. She was still processing. But a couple of other – one other staff member from the bank came by and was – and he was actually inputting it, and he thought it was pretty cool. So just to remind you that we have three or four apps that you ought to know about, and if you can – let your people know about it. One is a restaurant inspectional app. The other one is one that you and I know well about, the Neon to Nature app. We went on a walk together, and one of the things that the health district did was to help to provide the various cities, I believe, in the county with some funding for route markers and so on. And we have a couple of others. So we'd be happy to give you a summary of that, a written summary of that, maybe by email over the next week or so. We did have an issue with water over the weekend, as you may know. Jackie Rezitar, who's the Director of Environmental Health and staff, went down to Laughlin Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and may have gone down the rest of this week related to the unsafe water conditions in the Laughlin area related to increased turbidity in the water, which is due to the huge rainfall that they received just prior to that. So their job was to go down there and to work with the water district down there and to certainly go to the restaurants and casinos to make sure that they understood what the boil water rule meant, and when they could be, when it could be lifted, and what that meant when it was lifted as to what they still needed to do to comply with that. So I wanted to let you know about some extraordinary work by Environmental Health over the weekend. They did note some large amounts of standing water, so I believe by now our surveillance team for vectors has been down there. We worked with the county to make sure that we could do some mitigation, and I believe that included maybe some larva sighting, but certainly some mosquito fish. Where is Jackie?
Right here.
And mosquito fish?
Absolutely.
And some mosquito fish so that we could prevent an outbreak of mosquitoes. As you know, we do have many zip codes that have West Nile virus. So we wanted to work as we did with Overton and Moapa last year, whenever it was, when there were the huge amount of flooding then, to make sure that we could avoid disease. And again, that's our job. We wanted to reassure you that we're on that. I need to be very careful how I tell you this next thing, but we did have a patient come in from overseas that had been in one of the three countries where Ebola had been present. So the Office of Epidemiology, our public health laboratory, certainly myself, Dr. Lockett, and several others were involved in managing the care for this potential patient. It ends up that this potential patient did not have Ebola. But again, we wanted to reassure you that we will always be there for the jurisdictions. I think that some of you may know which hospital this person was at. You may not. I won't disclose that publicly, as you well know. But I think that we will see patients like this come in over the next weeks to months as the Ebola crisis is being handled overseas in the three countries. And rather than ever bringing this up again, which I think may increase people's worries, there's no reason to do that, but I think I may not report this to you in the future. And with your permission, I will talk to the chairman about that so that at least he is aware and can be of support to us if we need any of that. But I'm hesitant to bring that forward to the full board in the future just because of the fear that even a potential patient may cause. And remember, this is an ongoing issue. It will be ongoing for months to come. When it goes away, it won't go away. It'll just be hidden until the next outbreak of Ebola or MERS or SARS. If there is something that will affect us, certainly I'll bring that to the entire board. But with your permission, I'll just keep the chairman informed. It was, to say the least, a busy weekend for us. And it's always a joke. It may be a joke within police agencies or fire agencies that at 4:30 on Friday afternoon, something happens, and I think both of these happened at about 4:30 on Friday afternoon. So rather than having a free weekend, your staff in front of you has been working very hard. I believe that's all I have.
Dr. Eiser, you said the three-year budget is likely to be shown in August?
I believe it's in August. Sharon just left.
We probably don't need to contact the board members that are not here because I think that will be a massive magnet.
It should be.
I'll be waiting with bated breath.
The thought I had as we talked about the apps is for all of us out in our roles in the community, if you come across someone who has used the app or any of the apps, maybe get their name and turn them over to Jennifer, and she can shop those people's experiences around to the local media, and that would probably make a pretty good story and pretty good exposure and increase people downloading and utilizing those apps.
One other thing I may add is the ceremony with the sledgehammer was videotaped under some new program that we're doing that was streamed live. And if you all want to watch it, we'd be happy to send you out that connection. Where is he? Jason? Jason can do that if you'd like to see it. I think it's only 10 minutes long, but it's just a link, and it'll pop up, and you'll see me with a hard hat on.
I tried to watch it, and for some reason, no.
Oh.
You look about this tall. I mean, you're very something in the program foreshortened everybody. I know you're not that, you know, I mean, it just, in comparison to the surroundings.
I am short, that's
you looked
true.
Very, no, you looked shorter. Like somebody had squished you down.
Well, but, standing next to Mr.
Yes,
Beers.
I did try to watch that yesterday.
Okay, good.
Of course, I watched it on a smart TV. It might have looked better on my iPad or computer, but yeah, you were very, it just looked like somebody took everybody in the video and kind of put a real heavy weight on top of their head. It was interesting.
Like we were on Jupiter or some other.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
You told me the number of people who were tuned in on the internet. What was that final?
150?
145 people tuned in live to watch that.
Including, as Jason told me, from New York State.
New York State, all around the world.
Wow.
People were watching.
Wow. See how popular we are?
That may not be where I flee to escape responsibility for failing, for Las Vegas failing to appoint an advisory board member then, if they're onto us there. Information technology program overview.
And as a reminder, each division is highlighted every 3 to 4 months. And in this case, it's Mr. Glass's division, administrative division. And Jason will come up and give an update to you on information technology. And just to let you know, our new boardroom in the new building will be more or less square and will be in much better IT shape than I think we are here.
Excellent. Yes, definitely will be. I'm Jason Frame, IT manager, Southern Nevada Health District, here to give a brief presentation about what we do here. I think IT is one of those departments that are very, you know, very much needed, but very highly misunderstood about what all we do. So I put together a little presentation. We couldn't get this onto your iPads yet today. I wanted to put it together and just show it to you. Kind of talking about what we've done in the past, where we're heading in the future, and what we see with IT, and because it's going to be such a major impact on what we do as a district here. So the structure of our department, we're structured really into 5 different teams. We have our infrastructure team. They're in charge of basically keeping everything running. We have 120 or so different servers. We have over 800 devices that are supported through that infrastructure team in terms of computers, tablets, iPads, laptops, those kind of things, and then also our cell phones that people have. We have a support team that does first-level and second-level support for over 85 different business applications, ranging from our 14 different finance applications that we use right now. They're going to be combined into an ERP, to all of our nursing applications, the WebIZ, WebTB, and all those different things. So we have a support team that helps support all of those applications, make sure that they're up and running, make sure that the users understand how to use those, and when data needs to be delivered out to different departments for certain requests, they help out with that. We also have a project management team that oversees a lot of our major projects that we're going through as a district, and we're in the middle of about 4 different major projects right now from an IT standpoint, and we'll get into those in a little while. We have a software development team that's put together a lot of web applications and all these mobile applications that you guys have seen. You talked about the Neon to Nature and the restaurant apps. We build all those in-house. And I know the first day that we released the restaurant app, people from the city of Las Vegas contacted us to see who we hired to do that. And they asked if we used different resources. And we were, you know, proud to say that we were able to build that in-house. And finally, we have a training group that goes through and trains on all of our major software that we're doing. And also, we're starting to do individual trainings on software that people use all the time, like Outlook, Microsoft Office, things like that, where a lot of people come in as professionals. They've never really learned how to use it. They know how to get around a little bit in these applications, but they don't have the experience to become more of a power user. So we're starting to implement some training on them to help increase the productivity. And so we're using our training team to do that. As you see, this isn't a typical PowerPoint. I figured as an IT, I can't just give you guys a typical PowerPoint. I have to be a little bit more advanced. But
I've seen this from our IT guys already. That's how they do their presentation.
All right. My philosophy, and I'm new in this position. I've been in here just under a year as a full-time IT manager right now. And I come from a different side of the house. Most IT people come up through the hardware side. I came through the software side. So I have a different way of looking at things. But my philosophy is making IT be a partner with all the departments and divisions here in the health department, rather than being a service provider. And that's a new philosophy that we're working on, and it's brought a lot of benefits to us. And some of the projects that we've done in the last 14 months will show some of those benefits. The first one I wanted to highlight is our birth and death certificate kiosks. These were launched and went live last June. And what we did is we did an iPad-based kiosk where all the registration, all the birth and death certificate orders were placed on the iPads. You've probably seen the kiosks outside as you're walking in. We started off with three, and now we have five. But what now? People come in, they'll fill in all that information online, then they'll walk in and they'll get processed at the counter. Part of that project, we implemented credit card transactions at the counter, which we never had before. So in the past, someone came in, they wanted to get a birth or the death certificate. They'd fill out a paper application. Then they'd wait in line. They'd get processed. Once we determined whether or not they could get that certificate, then they'd have to go wait in the cashier's line. They'd wait through the cashier's line, pay. Then they'd come back and wait in line again. Once they got called back up to the window, they'd show their receipt, and they were able to pick up their certificates. A lot of hassle for our customers. So we're trying to improve customer service. That's one of our big focuses. So what we were able to do, if you're taking credit cards through our policies, we can now do that at the counter. So more than half the people will come in and use a credit card rather than cash. So now they'll come in, they'll fill in their application on the iPad, they'll walk to the wait in line to get called up to the, we do that in order as they come in. They'll go up to the desk, we make sure that they're able to have those certificates. If they are, they pay right there. They no longer have to go to that cashier's line. So we did a study, and we took probably about 15 to 20% of the overall people going into the cashier's line out because we were able to do that right at the counter. So it improved the customer service, and it improved the timing that it took to get those certificates. We did a survey last fall on how the customers liked using this web-based application, and it was very successful. About 94 to 95% of the people enjoyed using the iPads rather than using paper. And then what it does on the back end is it helps us find things a lot faster. Other main big project we did, we partnered with our Office of Public Health Preparedness to create the Southern Nevada POD website. And what this website is used for is anytime that there is some kind of a public health emergency, people go to this website and they can find out information on what is a POD, locate their nearest PODs. We've already gone through and looked at everyone in the valley based on their zip code, and we've assigned a POD to them. So if there was a huge event, we could then, when they logged in and they put their address in, we'd tell them, okay, this is your POD that you're going to, and we can register them to those PODs. We also have the medical screening form up online, where in the past people would fill this out, they come wait in line at the POD, someone would have to look it over and determine based on an algorithm, which it wasn't too fast to do, what medications they would need. So say it was an anthrax attack, would they get Cipro or would they get this or this? Well, now they fill all this out online. Based on the algorithm that we've developed, we know what medication they get. They get a code, and it shows what medication type they get. They are going to get. They walk in, we have a fast-track line through our PODs now.
What's a POD?
A POD is a point of dispensing. Sorry about that.
Do you know what that is?
Point of dispensing, that I do know.
Okay. I just want to know.
We call it POD. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
That's discussing PODs.
The list I saw, there's an exercise next month.
Well, September. We have a tabletop next week, and then there will be another exercise the following month. It's not really it's going to be a BioWatch, a little bit separate from this, but this may be part of what we do.
Right.
But just to be sure that you all know, a POD is a point of dispensing, and that would be a site that we would work with to provide medications in the case that it's needed related to a biological release of some agent. And we do have private PODs. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but private PODs that we've worked with the larger gaming properties to make sure that we can provide medication. They will provide the dispensing, and we do have some that we've worked with fire and other places where we'll provide medications as they're needed, and that's what POD stands for.
Thank you, Dr. Eiser. And so if you remember back to 2009, the swine flu, when we were giving out medication for that, people would show up at these PODs 4 or 5 hours and wait in line just because they were so busy. This fast track will allow them to show up, and they'd already have their paperwork. We're developing a mobile app where we can scan it. We can assign the lot number to it. We track all that information now electronically. Rather than having hundreds of thousands of pieces of paper, which we went through before, that then we had to go through and assign all this information to and scan it and do all the stuff with, now we'll have it all electronically. So you can see it'll save us a lot of time going forward. Dr. Eiser talked a little bit about some of the mobile apps that we've developed in the last year. We've released all four of these apps. These are our public mobile apps in the last year. The Neon to Nature one was our first one, and what that does is it allows you to find a trail or a walking path that you might want to walk on. You can find the closest ones to you. You can search on them based on the amenities, whether or not they are set up for, say, roller skating or equestrian or whatever like that you would like, or the ones that have certain accommodations with them. One of the great things about this app is when we developed it, we put all the data in the app, so even if you're in a place where you don't have cell phone signal, you can still use it and get all that information. The only thing you won't get at that time will be the pictures of the trail. We just released a SNAP recipe app. These are for people who are on the that are eligible for the SNAP benefits or the food stamp benefits, and it gives them healthy recipes that they can use their benefits to buy the ingredients for. We partnered with our Office of Chronic Disease and Public Health Preparedness on this, and we also worked with the FDA to get this information and got all this information in there. Third app on there is the Sugar Savvy Beverages. What this does is allow people to choose what beverages they've been drinking, and it shows how much extra sugar has been added into their diet that they might not have realized. So if they say, I drank 8 ounces of orange juice, it'll tell them how much sugar was in that. And a lot of people are kind of surprised about what they're seeing, and it allows them to track how much extra sugar they've had over time. And then the fourth one up there, this has been one of the most highly anticipated apps. We partnered with Environmental Health on this one, and it's to put the restaurant inspections in the hands of the people. They can walk into a restaurant, and now we always had it online, but it was kind of hard to search from a mobile app or from a mobile perspective. So right now, if you haven't seen this app, you can walk into a restaurant, pull it up, and it uses geocoding to know where you're at. So it'll be pretty close to what restaurant you're looking at. It'll show you their current inspection, what their current grade is, what their current demerits were. If you tap on that, then it'll bring up more details about that restaurant, including their last 15 inspections. So they might have an A today, but they might have been closed yesterday. You can find that out really quickly. One of the other things that that allows for is feedback from the public. We're trying to crowdsource some information because there's some times when the database might not have been updated yet, or we're finding different things have changed that we didn't know about that we found out from customers giving us input about a restaurant. So we've worked on these four public apps, and we've also done a couple internal-only apps, enterprise apps, for our environmental health department. We've released two of them so far for our inspectors. The food handler card lookups allows them to go into an establishment. If someone doesn't have their food handler card, what they're supposed to have, we can look them up by either name. Or if we see a card that we think might be a counterfeit, we can type in that number, and it'll bring back the results and it'll show if that's a valid card or not. And another one we did is an EH camera app. What that allows us to do is take a picture using the iPhone, so it allowed us to take away cameras from the inspectors. Gives them one less thing that they have to carry to all their inspections. And what this app does is it overwrites the main camera app in their iPhone, and it adds the coordinates and the timestamp to the picture. So in case we ever had to have a legal reason, we'd know exactly when that picture was taken and exactly what location. So we've partnered, you know, this is a whole term of partnership. We're looking at different groups that we can partner with in the organization to help them out, to increase their efficiencies and increase their productivity. Looking ahead to where we're going in the future, there's a great quote I saw from the CEO of Forrester Research, George Colony, said, in the future, all companies will be software companies. And what he's talking about there is how all of our consumers are so connected right now. Almost everyone has mobile phones. If you look worldwide, more people have mobile phones than have computers now. People are connected, and there's so much data that is generated from that, that part of being in any type of organization is how you're going to manage that data. So that's why he's saying everyone's going to be pretty much a software company, because it's all about managing data. So some of the stuff that we're working on, these are the projects we're on. Envision Connect Remote. This will allow our inspectors to be out in the field using a tablet technology to do their inspections right there on the tablet. Right now what they do is they go out in the field with a piece of paper, they check off all the requirements on the inspection, they sign it off, bring it back into the office, and then it gets entered in by a data entry clerk. That can take 2 to 3 business days, depending on the workload and what type of inspections they were. Now this will be instant. They'll come back in the office. It'll sync up. All that data will automatically be in our system, which will then help the restaurant inspections get updated even faster. Second large project we're working on is an enterprise resource planner. This is going to allow us to streamline our business functions for finance and HR and all of our inventory management, and this is going to replace 14 or 15 different business applications into one centralized application, and it'll be it's a major undertaking for the Southern Nevada Health District. We picked the vendor last month, and we're starting in negotiations, and implementation we're expecting to take about 24 to 30 months total to have it fully in place. one of the big things that we're really starting to work on now is this open data initiative, and this is all about government transparency. I know the city of Las Vegas has been doing this already. I know the county's in talks with different groups about doing it. I think the city of Henderson's also in talks with Socrata about going into this open data. What this is about government transparency and about sharing the data that we have that's public data with the public, making it easier for them to access the data, and it opens up a lot of public-private partnership opportunities where the data can be out there. Private companies can use that data to either build apps or build, you know, information sources out there that people can use, and it takes the workload off of us as a government. We're going to be implementing the open data portal, which we're going to try to put out as much public data as we can. We're also going to have the performance management piece of it, which will allow people to see and track where we are in different aspects. Think about the chip. Mary Beth was talking about going to the chip process. That's going to bring us to a lot of different goals and indicators that we need to follow. We'll be able to now track those publicly and online with all the different data feeds feeding into a nice template that people can go in there and look at where we are in all these different steps of our chip. And also we're going to, once we implement the ERP, we're going to have our transparent finances. So people come in, they can see what our budgets are, what we're spending the money on, and it'll be fully transparent of where the money's going, where it's coming and where it's going. And I think a lot of the people in the public are really going to enjoy that part of it. And then one of the things we're working on, too, is how do we engage our connected customers? We're looking at what can we do more with web services and mobile applications, mobile services, so we can serve our customers where they are and on their schedule. Right now, sometimes it's hard to get to any government agency because we're only open certain hours. But with web services and mobile services, the people can go online at 2 in the morning and order a birth certificate now. Once they've been validated, they can then pay for it and it gets mailed out to them without ever leaving their home. We're trying to find more ways that we can open up web services and open up mobile services. And then even going back to Senate Bill 365, which is connecting to the state business portal, one of those web services that we're working on is how can we connect our EEH to that state business portal so when the people fill out their information at the state, we can just suck that data in rather than them filling out another application here. So we're trying to just do as much as we can to expand our hours without having to be open longer. And then we talked a little bit about Operation Rabbit's Foot. That's the exercise that's coming up in September. What we're doing is estimating, you know, some kind of a biowatch hazard coming up where we have to inoculate people. But part of our IT, we were asked to come up with a big goal. So what we're trying to do is figure out what it would take to register people online, all 2 million plus people in the valley. We figured that would take 1,553 registrations per minute. So our goal is to be able to take 2.2 million registrations in a 24-hour period by scaling out using cloud technology and using different forms of communication to reach this goal. So that's one of our big goals coming up for the fall, is making sure that if, say, there were a biological attack or something like that, we could get everyone registered online, then that would speed up the pod dispensing going forward. And finally, we have this innovation initiative. I've been working with Andy Glass on this. We're trying to partner with all the divisions to find best practices in areas where technology can increase efficiencies, lower cost, or improve productivity. We have a lot of great employees out there, and they know what the tools are that help them do their job better than we can as an IT department. We had an inspector find an app on their phone that they could use now while they're waiting for this Envision Connect remote, so it could be a stopgap measure. They brought that to us. So little things like that with this innovation committee that we're looking at is how can we use the information and the skills and the knowledge that our employees have to increase what we are able to do here rather than having to try to come straight from IT. We're creating this innovation committee where we can just find ways to do everything that we can better. So in summary, what we're doing as an IT department, we're trying to put together people, processes, and technology to assist SNHD in becoming an information-driven organization.
Very good. It overwhelms me. I hope it doesn't overwhelm you more. Yeah. Do you have questions for Mr. Frame?
Actually, no. Very good presentation, and the amount of work that you can do in-house is really remarkable. Mm-hmm. If anybody sidelines at night, I'd be happy to be a guinea pig on how to access files on my husband's computer, which I have not figured out yet.
One of the things I didn't mention, just on our development team, that was a newer thing. I remember Chris had some concerns. What do we want to be doing this? I think we've shown a great return on our investment. And one of the great things about it is we've hired 3 people in the last year and a half to help out with that. All 3 of them are UNLV graduates.
Great.
Yeah, I just had a question on those apps.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the most savvy tech person on this board here. took me like a month just to download Gas Buddy, you know. But where could we get those? I don't recall mentioning. Are we going to be able to download? Or
if you download Neon to Nature, you can delete Gas Buddy because you can walk everywhere.
I walk, Well, that's how I got here this morning. I walked.
Do you have an Apple product, or what do you use for your smartphone?
You see, now you're getting into very technical questions.
What is it?
What is that?
Yeah, I don't know. That's.
I'm helping Richard out.
This is a Galaxy.
I'm just not techie as well. Yeah.
We'll be glad to put you through a training regimen.
So it's
Android. Yeah. What we've done, we put a page on our website. It's if you go to snhd.info/apps on our website, it lists all of our apps out there with links that you can click to that will take you right to the stores to help you download those.
Okay, good.
We try to make that as easy as possible.
If you can stay a few minutes, I'll ask Mr. Frame to stay for a few minutes, and maybe he can do it for you.
Okay, and you can show me how to delete Gas Buddy now because I won't need it.
Because you'll be walking.
It's not that far. Distance wise. Do we?
Any other comments or questions, Board?
I think what we're trying to do, and I think we've been succeeding over this these last several months, is to show you what a great district that you all have empowered here. And I think Mr. Frame's presentation, along with all the other ones that you've seen, are really indicative of that. And I'm certainly impressed by what we can do in-house, and I hope you are too.
I have one question. Did anyone from the city call you about using the Neon to Nature app for our public art database?
No, we've never had that talk. We can definitely talk to them.
We have a database of public art, lat long description.
That might be something we can add in.
I thought it just fit very smoothly.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Mr. Chair, before we go on, I'm not on this. I had a question, and I apologize. I just got an email from a constituent. Under the board's emerging issues, if you don't mind, if I could just ask the question. Our low-cost clinic is a low-cost. There was a misunderstanding. Somebody thought it was a free, but we charge $40 for the initial screening. Do we have any kind of scholarship program or something for those who just cannot afford it? And the issue was I had a pregnant woman who had chlamydia but couldn't pay the $40 and wound up leaving, and I don't want that.
No, we have a sliding fee scale, and certainly we'll take all insurances. And we talked about that with the nursing fees that you all passed. And certainly we have the ability to waive a fee. I can guarantee you we don't want anyone, male or female, young or old, walking around with chlamydia.
Yeah, exactly. And unfortunately, they wouldn't give me their names, so I don't know how to get back to them. So if they come back out, maybe, because your information is very clear about the cost and so on and so forth, both on the website and on the recording, but nowhere does it say it's a sliding fee, and if you can make a case that there's an inability to pay, please let staff know. So maybe that could be something added, but unless she calls me back, I don't have a way to reach out to her, unfortunately.
Yeah. Bonnie Sorensen, Director of Nursing. All right. The lady in question, I don't know the circumstances. Probably what the problem was she was pregnant. And those individuals we do not treat at a public clinic. They have to go back to an obstetrician just because of the special circumstances surrounding that.
Okay, maybe the doctor didn't know, because allegedly the doctor called my office on her behalf, but I didn't get either. They didn't leave either name, and the only phone number they left me was the clinic's phone number.
That's really the issue when it comes to pregnant women. We really prefer they stay with an obstetrician.
And if they don't have an obstetrician?
We can certainly work with them and try to help them find one. We've certainly done a lot of that. Now
so
that we have a Healthy
back
Start
out,
program,
so I can
too.
Give her that information. So maybe that's the glitch that's there. Maybe she didn't have – well, no, apparently it was
Somebody
a doctor.
Somebody had diagnosed the chlamydia.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's always a lot of circumstances. And if she wants to share the name with me, I can look into it and see what the situation is. Okay.
I don't have it, unfortunately. Okay. I didn't get – they wouldn't give either names. It was one of those weird anonymous things. But, the issue was important.
Sure.
And maybe there's – if she does have an obstetrician, then maybe we need to reach out and remind them that if they do refer someone
– We remind them all the time.
Yeah, I could imagine. Thank you. Thanks for letting me divert.
Okay, and then a building update. Who's going to give that?
Mr. Glass.
Andy Glass, Director of Administration with the Southern Nevada Health District.
As you all know, from the beginning of the meeting, we had a wall breaking yesterday. The building is in process. We actually have a full crew starting in there today, and we are on schedule to be moved totally out of this building by the middle of December. And for other services that are in other buildings, we'll be moving them in over the course of December and early January so that we're totally occupying the new building in January.
I believe we certainly had Jennifer and her staff there, and I think Corey took and Jay took a lot of pictures, and I assume we'll be posting those to the website. So you'll see the state of the building where it is now, which is virtually where it's been, not since we bought it, but almost.
Mary Beth?
I did hear a report on it as I was driving in on the radio. It was very positive.
I think we were. I haven't seen that large a collection of media in 5 years. It was stunning.
Slow news day.
We're lucky that Mr. Trump wasn't visiting at the time.
Indeed. Indeed.
I was impressed, too. I think we had six television stations, including three Hispanic language television stations, and I don't know how many reporters, print media that we had, but quite a few.
Sun, RJ, both were there. El Mundo was there. It was really amazing. Okay, any other comments, board? All right, you all have under agenda item 8 your informational items for you to read. Are there any questions on any of that?
I just have one follow-up, and I don't know if it's on this list, if I might, Mr. Chair. In August, do we redo the committees then?
Yes.
Okay, so then that's when we'll have that part of it then. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Which brings us to agenda item 9, public comment, a period devoted to comments made by the general public, if any, and discussion of those comments about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction. No action may be taken upon any matters raised under this item until the matter itself has been agendized at a future meeting pursuant to NRS 241.020 for those of you following along at home. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Please step up to the podium, clearly state your name and address, and spell your last name for the record. The length of presentation can be extended by the chair or by the board by majority vote. Anybody want to talk to us?
Sure.
Victoria?
Yeah.
Victoria Harding, SNHD, SEIU. I just wanted to do an update, a nice positive update for you, because I come up here a lot and I talk about employee morale. That has been my big issue here. And we've done the employee satisfaction survey. We have some issues that came out of that that we are working on throughout the district. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we're doing. One of the main things that we're working on is communication, because that has, and I've said that before, communication has been a big issue with us, not necessarily within the employees themselves, but between employees and the administration and higher up, and not having that flow going as well as we should have it going. And I did want to say that our joint labor management group that we meet once a month, and we talk about issues that are, you know, jointly desired to talk about with management and the employees, has over the last couple of months finally been working very, very well, where it's not just a few people in the room talking. It's actually everybody in the room is talking. They are feel free to speak their opinions. You know, whether or not things come out of that, you know, the outcome is, you know, to be seen, you know, down the road. Those take time. And really, when I look at communication, I look at three things when we look at communication. One is, do you have an opportunity, the correct opportunity, and format to have a conversation that's going to matter? Second would be the dialogue and the discourse, and are you having the right kind of discourse? And third would be the outcome. Because it doesn't matter how much you talk, if nothing ever comes out of it that's positive, you know, where did you go? And so I have to say, Andy and I talked back in April, and we really wanted to work on our relationship between the top of the union and the district. And so back in April, Andy and I decided to get together, and we have included our HR administrator and Jackie Rach Curl, who's the chief steward for the supervisory unit. And we do meet every 2 weeks. We try and meet every 2 weeks. Don't always make it. But and to be honest with you, those meetings were really hard in the beginning. It was setting up how to communicate. But we made the opportunity. We said, we have to do this. We know we have to do this. And we want to have a good relationship where we can work out issues. And I don't have to come to the board. And I don't have to speak up about things. I can do things internally. And so since then, you know, our last conversation that we had, and Shirley is gone now, but Montana Garcia is filling in. We had probably one of the most wonderful conversations. We are no longer talking about how to communicate with each other. We are actually talking about the issues that are going on here at the district and feeling that both sides are being listened to. You know, outcomes, those always come later down the road and all that stuff. But I did want to say that, you know, as the whole district has been working after this employee satisfaction survey about how do we communicate better, even before that came out, we have really been working on that, and I think the employees and the board need to know. Because even the employees, I don't think they know that we're behind closed doors trying to make these relationships work. And some of it's hard. It's like, I don't like the fact that you do this, and I don't like the fact that you do this. And getting past some of that to the point where, you know, you have a mutual respect and can talk honestly and work out issues. And we've gotten to that second phase where we have really good discourse. And so I hope to continue that in the future. And so I just wanted to update everybody on that. Thanks.
Thank you for your extra effort, and thank you for your extra effort, and as well as the other members of the group. It's the hardest thing.
Now we have the
board members. Okay. We are adjourned.